All right, welcome to Atheist News Network. We got an article here that, we talked about evolution, intelligent design, creationism pretty early in our podcast schedule. But, it's an ongoing debate, right?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And the interesting thing is it's something that you brought up with these creationists is they are constantly going after scientists for being arrogant, and yet if you read anything that they write, it's absolutely arrogant itself. I mean, it's what's that scripture? Take the thorn out of your eye before, or yeah, I can't remember.
It was a mote.
Mote out of your friend's eye before taking the beam out of yours, or something.
No. Remove the mote from your eye before you remove the beam from your friend's eye.
It doesn't make any sense.
But thanks for bringing that up.
It seemed philosophically sound.
This one I found by way of Feringula. He was discussing, his point was that, the first sentence is, it never ceases to amaze me how intellectually condescending evolutionary naturalists can be. P.Z. Meyer's point was that, I'll be condescending when they deserve condescension. And this definitely deserves condescension.
Yeah, it most certainly does. I mean, you read through this, and the guy is absolutely hilarious. Basically, the whole gist of it is that people who trust in Darwin's theory and in science can prove nothing. All they're doing is tossing out theories, whereas creationists can prove everything. That's pretty much the gist of exactly what he's saying.
Right, he's saying that science is all on the creationist side. And clearly he's an idiot. I mean, you just look at his picture and you can tell. There's no doubt.
Well, heck, what would make you say that?
The second sentence is, keep in mind, these are folks who believe that an indescribably tiny wad of nothingness exploded into a fully functional, structured, and ordered universe of orbiting planets and complex creatures without any supernatural agency involved. Now, keep in mind, his alternative is that an amazingly functional, structured, ordered, supernatural, complex being existed always.
Yeah, before the speck of dust, which he used to bring this universe into.
It was just always there.
And again, it doesn't make sense.
We've murdered that already. It's a case of special pleading. If you think that the complexity of the universe, which is a whole thing that requires an explanation, is solved by positing something even more complex, which requires even more of an explanation. So it's just digging yourself into a deeper hole. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Now,
the next sentence, they're the ones who cling to a theory known as spontaneous generation, the notion that dead matter can just suddenly pop to life. No. God.
That's not even close.
It's abiogenesis, first of all. Spontaneous generation was disproven, I think, by Pasteur in the 1800s.
And now, if I'm remembering right, didn't he do something with meat as well?
Well, I think that was the original theory. They thought that, maggots spontaneously generated from the meat. It would just pop into existence. But he did an actual experiment and proved that it didn't. But we're not talking about spontaneous generation. We're talking about abiogenesis. We're talking about chemical replicators and systems the end product of the system is the beginning product of the system as well. So it's a cycle. And these systems then would outcompete each other, and eventually you get to people.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, they're the ones who champion a man, Charles Darwin, who suggested that Africans were more closely related to gorillas than Caucasians. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, I read that, and I'm sitting there going, where is he getting this?
Well, it's probably true. I don't know any specific instance of why it's true, but that doesn't matter for two reasons. One, it has nothing to do with the theory of evolution. Two, you are committing the fallacy of presentism by denigrating Darwin for holding the same beliefs that everyone in this period did. You could do the same thing to Jesus about slavery or Paul. It's ridiculous on both accounts. Darwin, for his day and age, was actually fairly progressive. He didn't like slavery, and he was ahead of his time. But you can't look 200 years later and say, oh, he didn't have the morals we have today, so therefore his scientific theory is horrible.
It makes sense to me. I mean, After all, Copernicus, forward thinker, obviously not as moral as we are.
Right, so therefore the sun does revolves around the Earth instead of vice versa.
Exactly my point.
He goes on to make these ridiculous claims, and this is very common in creationism. They will yield, they'll give up, they'll surrender about microevolution. But they say that microevolution, but there's really no difference between micro and macroevolution. Microevolution, they say, is change of alleles, frequency, these mutations that get into the population, but they don't change species, right? What they don't like is the species turning into a different species.
Yeah, that was something he was talking about, the frog to the lizard and so
Right.
on and so forth. However, once again, I would like to point out that chicken sometimes develop reptilian teeth. Explain that, Mr. Heck.
Yeah. God apparently created the teeth in there and then suppressed them. I mean, it's ridiculous. What these guys don't understand is that by giving in to microevolution, they're giving the whole package away. Macroevolution is nothing more than microevolution over time.
Yeah.
Unless they have a mechanism, so unless they're willing to propose a mechanism that prevents a small amount of mutations from becoming large amounts of mutations over time, then the difference between micro and macroevolution disappears. So they need to say what mechanism prevents a small amount of mutations from becoming a large one, over time.
Yeah, that was something very interesting. He kept going on. If evolution was in our day and age, we should be able to observe it. We are observing it. The swine flu is evolution. It is a mutation. Now, it may not be a hugely, magnificently large mutation, but it is a mutation nevertheless.
Right, it's natural selection, it's mutation and natural selection on that mutation. So his idea that there's some sort of barrier to species is ridiculous.
Oh,
Ridiculous.
what I love is this right here. Let me read it. Take the recent discovery of a perfectly preserved octopus remains. This discovery revealed that these ancient octopi actually had more genetic information than do modern octopi. Call it Darwin in reverse. Both horizontal and destructive mutations support the creationist model, and both devastate Darwin's. Yeah, that just cracks me up. So you're telling me that your God created this octopi with too much information, oops, and then through microevolution, it shuffled off everything that it didn't need? Is this what you're really trying to posit?
That's exactly what they're positing, that the fall introduced mutation into the world, and since that time, direction of mutation has only been into loss of information. It's ridiculously stupid. It's horrible. This idea, well, first of all, I don't think he was reading the same article that anyone else is, because I have no idea what he's talking about, that the old octopus had more genetic information than the new one. I have no idea what he's talking about. Second of all, there is no direction to Darwin. It's not, they can't get their head around this. In the old idea was that there was a sort of inevitable march toward human beings, right? We were on top of a ladder. There is no ladder. It's a shrub. It grows out in all these different directions, and based upon the environment is the ones that get selected. So there is no directionality to evolution other than becoming better adapted to your current environment.
Well, see, that's a big issue, especially with human beings, because most humans don't like to think about their own insignificance. They don't like to admit that if all human race was to die, something else would come forward and take our place.
What the hell is that?
That is a damn scooter cruising by right at the
Nice.
time. Actually, I've turned my desk into an airplane. I'm taking off.
Very nice. They also like to hammer on this idea of genetic information because they can't seem to think of a way that genetic information can be increased, right? It's a non-argument. The genetic code is not like a watch, it's not like English. sentences where if you mutate one letter, then you've screwed up your entire word. It's more plastic than that. It's more, it's redundant. You can insert different things and they come up with the same amino acid. And sometimes, even if you have different amino acids, it doesn't change the folding structure of the protein. But there is an obvious way. What was that one sentence where he said that if you pin these, here we go. Interestingly, when pressed, Britt and other adherents to the Darwinian faith would be forced to admit that they cannot produce a single example of mutations creating new genetic information.
I love it when they bring that up.
This is great because the mechanism itself is very easy. It is a genetic duplication, gene duplication. That stuff happens all the time. And then when you have two copies, you're free to mutate the other copy, right? So you can mutate the hell out of it. P.Z. Myers gave an example of E. coli mutating, generations of E. coli mutating, the ability finally, after about 33,000 generations, to digest citrate. I would like to give I think a better, sorry, PZ, a better example is nylon eating bacteria. And you can look this up in Wikipedia.
Actually, I have looked that up. It's very interesting, actually.
Right, nylon didn't exist before humans made it in 1935. So, organisms that digested it didn't exist before 1935. So there's a strain of flavobacterium that was living in ponds containing wastewater, right, from a nylon factory. And after a certain number of generations, they were able to eat, digest, and live off byproducts of nylon. That, and again, it's probably a gene duplication, and they're arguing whether it's a frame shift mutation or a point mutation or whatever, but what happens is you duplicate the gene and then you're free to mutate the other gene. And I'll tell you this too, if you run out of substrate or food, or the bacteria is put under a massive amount of pressure, what happens, interestingly enough, is it relaxes its controls on duplication. So typically, you want to conserve, it's very, very tightly regulated, the reproduction of your genes. So you have like one error in, a billion or something like that. It's very tightly regulated. When your bacteria is put under stress, it loosens its controls, and now you get a mutation rate of 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000. And the hope is a lot of those mutations won't work. They'll be neutral or they'll be bad, but the hope is that one out of those will succeed and allow you to survive in this new environment. And then from that one cell, the rest of the population comes out. That's how this stuff happens.
That's actually pretty fascinating.
But these people don't understand any of this. None of it. And this guy has this tone of absolute arrogance, which combined with his absolute utter lack of knowledge of biology and biochemistry is just nothing short of stunning.
Well, see, I find it very difficult to even believe something I've read from a news article writer. When you look just to the right and you see the book, The Search for the Real Mount Sinai, sitting right next to it. I'm sorry. That just blew away any credible belief in anything this guy was spouting.
Yeah, it's very tough.
Yeah, do you really think he was looking at things objectively?
So this guy, do you know who he is?
Peter Heck.
Yeah, I read his little thing at the back. He hosts a 2-hour daily call-in radio program in Kokomo, Indiana.
Is that like the Beach Boys song?
Except in Indiana.
Oh, here's a sentence that'll fry you, Charlie. And he doesn't shy away from recognizing how faith influences politics.
You think he believes that America is a Christian nation?
Oh, I can guarantee that 100%.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say yes, he does. All right, I think we've probably covered all the things. PZ Myers did a good takedown on this, but I wanted to bring up a few extra things.
Excuse
So,
me.
if there's no more yawning or no more scooters, I think we'll call it.
Or no more kittens meowing in the background.
I think we'll just call it.